Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
What?
We're going to talk about Boba Fett.
Yes, we are.
So
that's what you said last week.
That's so true. That's,
we should do that.
That would make sense.
That would be good follow-through.
Not a liar. So consider this spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you should have watched it anyway by now. So we like to try and give you like a week or so. So you got a week.
Not quite,
but you know. Close. It wasn't like immediately following. So
yeah
I guess hope by you
the
watched it.
By the time this airs, it'll be over a week.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you should have seen it by now. It's only 7 episodes. We have faith in your ability to watch it. Be all caught up. Here we go. Good?
Yeah.
Okay, that was my long drawn out spoiler warning. Before we get to that though, Brandon, what are you drinking today?
I am having a nice peach gin drink.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshing. It's been kind of like a false spring around here. So,
yeah, we always get that around this time.
A nice peachy peachy gin drink is nice for false spring.
Yep, false spring.
I think you also have the same.
I do, because yeah, you know,
sharing.
Yep, false spring.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I think colder climates get, but at least Alberta for sure, we always get a false spring in February and into March. Mm-hmm. And then it snows again. A lot. For like 2 more months.
And gets cold. There's at least a couple more blizzards coming, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also, Brandon, what's your current nerd thing?
Well, we're recording this a little bit early.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we watched the Super Bowl!
Yeah! Was that fun?
Yeah, it was. It was a good game, actually. Yeah. The refs were kind of bad, but that's beside the point. I didn't really have a rooting interest other than the cool team with the tiger stripes
on it.
Yeah. I don't know. don't have an NFL team myself, but yeah, it was a good game. It was exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. I do like football in general.
Right.
So that was fun, and there were some decent commercials, and probably we'll talk a little bit more about it in the news, but
I was like, don't steal the news items.
A couple really cool Disney type commercials.
Oh, let's do spoiler for that too. If you're someone who wants to go see the trailer and doesn't want to hear us talk about it, it's gonna get spoiled during the news, so pause this, go watch the trailer, then come back.
True.
Although really, if you haven't seen it by now, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's
a trailer. It's like 2 minutes long.
Trailers, yeah, that's your own fault. Don't feel sorry for you.
No, did you like the halftime show?
I actually did. There was some debate on whether it was for millennials or Gen Xers, and I would say it's kind of like for us, we're like right in the middle, like
right.
We're 85 birth year, which is like right after what Gen X was supposed to be. But I usually have more in common with a Gen Xer than a millennial.
And to be fair, it was so funny because I was listening to my students, my sports fan students, as they were coming in this morning. And they were like, oh, so disappointed because the halftime show is supposed to be so good. And it was like lame. And it was all this old stuff. And I was like,
yeah, too bad. Too bad, you Zoomers.
Zoomers.
Go on your TikToks and stuff. We're going to listen to some classic rap and hip hop and stuff.
And lose yourself in the music.
Yeah. I do like me some Eminem for sure.
Me too. Also, well, we're not going to talk Boba Fett, but we're going to have to reinstate Marvel Minute here in a few weeks.
Why? What happened?
Because Marvel. Because Marvel. But let's talk about that in the news.
Well, wait, what was your nerd thing?
Oh, I was still so, like, nodding my head to Eminem over here. I completely negated that. We literally just got a delivery of Cakeworthy items.
Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, technically, my new backpack's not a Loungefly, but it's Loungefly-esque.
Loungefly-inspired. Loungefly-adjacent.
Loungefly-adjacent.
You're on a Loungefly budget. Just because it doesn't say Loungefly on the label, it's not a loophole.
It is a loophole.
No.
You said I was on a Loungefly budget. This is not a Loungefly item. So, yes, I have a new Star Wars backpack, and it's like the original, the classic, and it's almost like comic book style looking,
very,
which is very cool,
very retro.
But yeah. I also, okay, so Cakeworthy was doing a clear out of all their Winnie the Pooh items, so I just said yes, and I got a lot of Winnie the Pooh items.
a lot.
And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh's cute.
Yeah, well, Winnie the Pooh, yeah, is amazing in every way. So, yeah. Okay, now let's go to the news.
Disney A News Update.
Okay, so like you said, we're recording this a little early, but we do still have some news items because, like you said, the Super Bowl just happened.
Yeah, and speaking of the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
normally, normally they've had a tie-in advertisement with Disney for a long, long time, and they always ask the winning quarterback, usually, or MVP, what they're going to do next, and they always say, we're going to Disney World, but this year, since it was in L.A., they actually said they're going to Disneyland.
They did, in unison. I saw that. It was great.
Well, with their whole families and everything.
It's like 5 minutes down the road from where they were playing.
With traffic, probably an hour and a half.
But it's like right there, so it's very close. That's cool. Good on them for doing that. Okay, so Super Bowl. But first of all, before we start like going a little nuts here, there was a really cool ad for Disney Plus with goats.
Yeah,
that was awesome, and it was starring Awkwafina, who of course is in Raya and the Last Dragon and Shang-Chi. So that was cool.
She's on the payroll of the mouse pretty hard these days. So, yeah,
but also goats.
Really cute Disney themed goats.
Exactly. So definitely check that one out. I'm sure it's on YouTube or whatever. But the big ones, the big Disney ones. Let's ramp up. So let's start Moon Knight.
Okay.
Because this was really cool.
Quick little teaser. I mean, we've seen a couple full trailers for Moon Knight now.
Mm-hmm.
This was a quick teaser, but there was quite a bit of new footage in it.
There's a lot of new stuff. And this is exciting because this is the one that's coming out in March. So this is our first Marvel content that we're getting of
this
2022.
Year.
Yeah. So, we're just a few weeks away now from getting our Marvel. So, this was cool. It really is leaning into the horror.
Yes, it's going to be disorienting is the gist I got from it. And the villain seems like he's going to be pretty creepy.
Which I'm a fan of.
It got a whole cult leader vibe going on and some magic going on. So who knows?
I've noticed a lot that my tastes are leaning into the horror creepy factor a little bit, which seems uncharacteristic of me. So I'm not really sure what's going on there. I should probably just blame you. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
But I mean, like, I've always liked like Edgar Allan Poe and stuff like that. So it's not that weird. But I'm very excited for this one. It looks really cool.
And it looks like it might be pretty violent for Disney Plus. He beat some people up pretty good.
Just wails on them. So
people are things or
some,
maybe both.
We don't know.
He could think they're things and they're actually people because he's crazy.
There's a lot of conjecture about this, but before you know it, it'll be here. And there was a new poster released at the same time, of course. But the big one. So I saw the Moon Knight trailer. We saw the Moon Knight trailer, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then, like, a couple commercial sets later, this other trailer comes out. And, we got a Doctor Strange trailer.
Yes, we did.
We got quite a Doctor Strange trailer.
Yes, we did.
So we've mentioned before different YouTubers and stuff we like, but we were talking more Disneyland. Mm-hmm. We've been watching a lot of new rock stars.
Yes.
And we specifically went to go watch his reaction trailer to seeing it, and he fell out of his chair.
I mean, same. Almost.
Same, right? It's really good thing I wasn't, like, drinking anything. I would have spit it out all over the place, just, like, screaming or choked on it. I don't know.
Yeah, no. So this was a really big trailer. So they had a TV spot, and then they had a full trailer uploaded to YouTube after. Because, of course, Super Bowl airtime is very, very, very expensive.
Of course.
You don't have a two-minute trailer at a Super Bowl. No. Anyway. Yeah. But interestingly, they had different footage in the two.
They did.
The TV spot had a little bit more in different places than the full trailer did.
Marvel, what are you doing?
It's like messing with people.
Oh, man. Yeah, is it? Is it ever? Okay. So the takeaways from this, we're not going to break it down shot by shot or anything crazy like that. That would be a whole episode in and of itself. What are your big takeaways from seeing this trailer? And, of course, there's a new poster as well.
So there's a lot to examine. Who's going to be in it? Mm-hmm. There was a very familiar voice. A follically challenged type of voice.
Follically challenged, I like that.
Yeah, and so
you mean
there's...
bald? He means bald.
Yeah, he means bald. Yes, thank you. He's definitely has a distinctive voice. So that was definitely Patrick Stewart.
Yep.
There's a lot of conjecture on what that means, of course, being from the X-Men franchise, formerly Fox, things like that. But there was a lot more going on in there. We saw some zombie action.
Oh, did we? Holy.
A lot of tie-ins to What If. And
WandaVision.
Lots of WandaVision. We saw the WandaVision house.
Yep. And my heart. Ugh.
And we saw a mysterious glowing figure, and there's a lot of speculation on who that might be. It looks similar effects to what Captain Marvel is when she's flying all powered up, but people have freeze framed it, and it looks like it might be someone with a goatee.
Ooh, I thought that was Captain Marvel, so that is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. And then there was the room where Patrick Stewart was talking, and there was a bunch of chairs, and it looked kind of like some sort of judgment room or something. And there's lots of speculation that's going to be the Illuminati,
right?
Which is a big thing in the comics.
And then the other one is what are their official names? The Ultron bots.
Yeah, so the Ultron sentries
or
possibly something like Iron Man had in Iron Man 3,
right.
But like more advanced is like, well, they're all tied together, of course, because Iron Man was designed
with
Ultron.
So
it's something going on there.
Oh man, there's like a lot of different layers. And then of course it's also like, in which version of reality are we in? And there's so much going on. If you have not seen this trailer, you need to go watch it. We're definitely going to watch it at least one more time. We're going to be watching breakdowns, and we're going to be waited with bated breath on other ones. I would strongly recommend watching What If.
Yeah, you're going to need to see What If. So you said that there was a poster release for Moon Knight.
Yes.
Well, there was also a poster release for Doctor Strange.
That's what I'm saying too, yeah.
Which it was the kind where you want to zoom in on things.
Really? Because I just glanced at it.
Yeah, so it, there's shards of broken glass, but there's all sorts of things reflected in those shards of broken glass, and people are zooming in on them. There's like a star, and that may be Captain Marvel or Captain America, and a shield-looking thing. And... an all-seeing eye triangle.
Is there actually?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, there's, yeah, it's
there's layers upon layers in this.
It's a Where's Waldo of speculation, basically, and it's, I like that.
I do, too.
That was my favorite part of WandaVision. I liked that in Loki.
Yeah, the different layers to go through.
I kind of missed it in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because that was more
straightforward. Right, that's true. And Hawkeye was a bit more straightforward, too. I mean, there was a little bit of speculation,
bit, yes.
But it was a lot less subtle than...
Yeah, very heavy-handed.
Yeah.
I like the build-up to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Similar, so, yeah.
That's what they're milking with this one, too, and I'm here for it. I'm good with it. That's part of the fun of it, actually,
yeah.
I find.
Yeah, so what they're teasing...
As long as there's good payoff.
What they're teasing in the trailer makes you go, what are they hiding?
Well, that's it. So the fact that a trailer we're getting in February, I mean, granted, Super Bowl and everything, but it's still February for a movie coming out in May, has that voice in it makes me go... Like you said, who else is in it then? Because if they're telling us that now, like, oh man, they're Marvel does not give it away in the trailer. Like that's
They'll give some things away, but they'll hold stuff back.
Yeah,
and they have no problem doing that.
Well, like spoiler for Spider-Man. Although really, if you haven't watched it yet, what are you doing with your life? But for Spider-Man, we saw Doc Ock in the trailer, and that's what this is being likened to, right? You're like, if you see him. Who are you not seeing is the question. And it was pretty obvious you were not seeing people, and then you didn't, and you got more as it came closer. So that's the question now is, if this is who you're hearing and you're kind of seeing the, like, a little tiny bit of profile, sort of, like, part of his head.
And, well, yeah.
Then
and
what are you not seeing?
And then the other thing is, we know that they've been doing reshoots after Spider-Man was such a huge success, so they might be leaning more heavily into that cameo mystery type of thing.
Well, and that was the conjecture, was that was why there were some reshoots in there. So that's very exciting. And am I going to need to watch WandaVision a third time? I think maybe. You don't have to join me if you don't want to, but I'm definitely going to squeeze in a WandaVision viewing.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
I just love it so much. Definitely need to watch Doctor Strange.
Oh, no, we're definitely
doing
that.
That's been
a few
years, and it's
we almost
fuzzy.
Watched it again before Spider-Man, but decided we'd hold off until...
And I'm glad, because, yes, he was in Spider-Man, and that was fine, but he didn't matter.
No.
Like, his... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's more setting up this now, coming into it. But we'll definitely rewatch Doctor Strange, and I want to rewatch WandaVision. If you only kind of watched or didn't watch What If, I'd strongly recommend doing that as well. Because this is like, it's a thing. Oh my goodness. There's so much going on here.
I was under the assumption that What If was going to just be this tangent that riffed off of the MCU.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's going to just tie into, like, it is part of
which
the MCU.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of the place where they just got to do random stuff in there, like, but nope. Guess not.
And they can do random stuff and try it out, and it can be a one-off, or if it's liked, it can be brought in.
True, so, or versions of it can be brought in. Like, there's just so much room here. So this is very exciting. I'm so excited for Doctor Strange. I mean, I'm excited for Moon Knight and everything, but, like, oh, man. I was more excited for Doctor Strange than Spider-Man, and Spider-Man, like, blew my mind. So I'm just... I love Wanda so much. And, oh, the tone she takes in that one close-up is just like, what's going on?
Definitely.
Also has a point, by the way.
definitely gearing up for her righteous villain arc, which is a role she plays quite well in the comics, similar to her father in the comics, Magneto.
Right.
I like a good righteous villain.
Well, I like the complicated characters, whether they are... Mm. You know, like, righteous villains or, like, shades of gray kind of, not the 50 kind, but shades of gray kind of, like, conflicted heroes, even, like, whatever side you're on, mm-hmm. I like really conflicted, like, that's why I like Loki.
Right.
You know, he has a great arc and things in that.
The anti-heroes are very popular. Mm-hmm. That's why Batman is the most popular DC character.
Which I think is overrated, but anyway.
Although that new movie looks pretty good.
It does actually look really good. That was another, we saw a lot of...
There's been a lot of trailers for that as well. And yeah, no, I'm excited for that. Hopefully it's good. I would like to see DC being on the same level as Marvel.
Oh, that would be awesome. The only one they've had any luck with whatsoever is Batman. So it'd be great if they actually did, you know, kept that going and did something really cool with them. And I'm optimistic. This trailer did look really good. So we'll see. But I mean, Doctor Strange. Come on. Like, and oh, just, I could just watch Wanda do that. Like, I don't think that's fair. Like, over and over again being like, oh God, she's going to smite us all.
Yeah.
Because she could. She could. Yep. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited for that. And girl's got a point. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, that was the big news for me.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some other cool trailers. The Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah, that's...
September?
That's September. It looks pretty cool to me. There's been some mixed reception.
Yeah.
Some people think it's a little too CGI-y.
It did look a little, but I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment. Yeah.
Who knows? There was a lot of practical effects in the Peter mm-hmm. Jackson movies, but they actually had a lot of CGI, too.
Right.
Like, I mean... Gollum is a prime example there. But true. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm reserving judgment. I hope it's good.
And then the other one that came out was the House of Dragons one. That's the other new trailer
new
we
Game
saw.
Of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Cautiously optimistic. I don't know. I don't hate the last season as much as a lot of people. It was there was a lot of problems with it for
sure.
Yeah,
yeah. But it didn't make me hate the whole series as much as it has to other people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I want to check it out and, like, see what being in that world is like and things like that and see what they do with it. And, like you said, cautiously optimistic. But, I mean, that's something I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I want to see. But it's not like Doctor Strange that I'm, like, my mind is blown over. Like, literally screaming.
And then there was another TV spot for Turning Red.
Mm-hmm,
Didn't have any new footage or anything, but... Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
I really want
to
see it.
Red pandas are cool, and it's in Toronto, and it looks good. I don't know. Looks good.
I think it looks good. I was excited for it. I've expressed my opinions on it not getting a theatrical release, but at the same time, I'm excited to see it. So you know.
And then the other news is, we're gonna get to travel.
Right. Yes. So this is exciting. This was almost my nerd thing, but I thought. We talk about it later. So, yes, that's our news.
Our news.
We have canceled and canceled and put off and postponed. I don't know how many trips. It's still kind of tricky leaving, like, with Canada right now, leaving the country and coming. Well, leaving the country is okay. It's the coming back that's problematic.
Of course, it depends on where you're going, but...
Yes.
You can... Canada will let you leave, and then it's on dependent on the country you go to on how that works. But then coming back right now, you have to test before you get on the plane, and then you have to test when you land.
And it's expensive.
They charge you, and it's not the cheap rapid tests either.
No.
It's the full meal deal, $150 bucks plus. But that might be changing this week as well. We don't know.
Well, okay. So I guess the other news I think would be remiss of us. We are Canadian podcast and everything like that. Canada has just enacted the Emergency Measures Act for the first time in its entire history.
Why? What happened?
So because of the convoy,
uh-huh. Convoys.
Basically, it's been blocking trade routes between Canada and the States.
Yeah, I mean, the big one is the Ambassador Bridge in Ontario. Mm-hmm.
There's also one in Manitoba, and there's one just south of here as well.
And then the first one that was actually blocking the border was, like, right near us. Yeah, at the Coots Crossing.
Yeah.
We've been through that border crossing
before.
Yeah,
we have. More than once. Yeah.
It's a pretty small one, so it's probably a little easier for them to block, but...
So anyway, they've officially announced that to try and put an end of this because of the, of course, disruption to trade and economy and everything else, as well as, you know, there have been some not very peaceful elements to this, such as the guys arrested today in the area where we live, which...
They had lots of guns. Which is...
And a machete. Where do you get a machete in Alberta?
From the machete store, obviously.
Machetes are us. Yeah. So, like, we're kind of making a little bit light of it, but, you know, that is something going on right now. So that's making news, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then we're hoping for some more positive news about the traveling.
Yeah. Things are looking positive. People are kind of jumping the gun on that with the freedom protesting. Beside the point.
Yep.
But, we're cautiously optimistic as we have been in the past, but it does seem to be turning.
Right. Well,
I have been saying since December that this looks actually it's going to be the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think that's the way everything is trending. Yeah.
So we are flying. That's the reason we're recording so early is we are flying out. Where are we going?
Mexico!
Well, let's go lie by the pool and on the beach for a while, hey?
Yeah.
Escape the Canadian winter.
I'm going to drink some margaritas.
Ooh. Sí, mucho.
Some cervezas.
But it's a big, my family trip. My parents celebrated their 40th anniversary a few months ago. And happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. You're probably not listening to this right now, but happy anniversary anyway. And, so that was their wish was all their children and the children's significant others and everything do a big family trip down to Mexico. So our bags are packed and we're going.
Well, I don't think they cared about the significant others, but I'm going.
Too
bad.
Who's going to challenge my brothers to the eating contest otherwise?
Well, I wouldn't call it a challenge.
Ooh. No, they wanted to schedule everything they wanted to schedule it as best they could for everything. And, of course, everyone has very different jobs where that was quite difficult to do. So we're excited that it was able to go and our bags are packed and we're flying out.
Yeah, and everything was so up in the air, even up until this time last week. We had a week before we left to cancel and we're still going, I don't know
humming
if this is a good idea.
And then
worried about getting sick before we have to go.
In Alberta, they just kids no longer have to wear masks in school right now. Mm-hmm. Today was the first day with that, so now I'm like staying away from all the children as I'm trying to teach them. Because I'm like, I can't get sick before I go.
Popping vitamin C's. And
oh yeah, I really
your breath.
And... I bought a big thing, giant thing of vitamin C just to keep her going.
Just taking a bath in hand sanitizer. Yeah.
I thought my hands were dry before from hand sanitizer. So yes, it's very exciting though. We're excited to finally get to travel. That is like the other half of our podcast.
We did have our road trip in the summer,
which was wonderful, fantastic, but
hopping on a plane does hit a little different.
It really does.
We haven't done that in over 2 years now.
Well, I got to a little after you because I did a school trip.
Mm.
Mm-hmm, but that doesn't really count, does it?
No.
I'm being responsible for a whack of teenagers traveling halfway around the world.
No, that doesn't count.
Not really. No, there's something about, you know, packing the suitcase and getting on a plane and all that stuff that just, like you said, it hits a little different. And I'm very excited about it. And before you know it, we'll be up in the air. And hopefully we won't be up in the air.
Fingers crossed that it all goes well.
This time next week we will be lying on a beach.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. So yes, let's take a break for our friends on Magic of the Mouse Radio.
Sounds good. Do we have any cool Super Bowl commercials? No.
No.
Dr. Evil.
That was actually really good.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Let's take a break, and then we can go to our main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
Boba Fett. Brandon, what did you think overall, and then let's
break it down a little bit. Okay.
We're gonna back up, but I just want an overall.
Boba Fett, Book of Boba Fett. So we've had one Disney Plus series for Star Wars so far, and it's had two seasons.
Yep.
And this was the second foray, and they seem to be like going more for it because Obi-Wan is just right around the corner now.
Oh, I'm so excited for that too.
Andor is in the can as well. We don't really know when it's coming out.
I'm so hopeful, but I'm really nervous about that one.
Yeah, that one's a tough sale for me.
Oh,
but,
speaking of Obi-Wan, we forgot to mention a very cool Ewan McGregor commercial that I really liked, and it was for Expedia, which is for travel. So, yay. Okay.
It was making fun of the rest of Super Bowl.
Yeah, it really was.
Anyway. Oh, and speaking of Obi-Wan,
you
said you wanted it to come out on May 4th because Star Wars Day.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
But it's coming out on May 25th. You know why?
No.
That is when A New Hope, not called New Hope at that time, that's when that came out.
Did it really?
45 years ago. So,
That is so much cooler than May 4th. I totally take away everything I said.
Yeah, that's the real Star Wars
that
day.
That is so much better. Yeah. Okay. You know what? And I think you're right. They're going to have like a last teaser or something like that on May 4th
something.
And then, okay, hats off, Disney. Apparently, you know what you're doing. I feel really dumb because that is, I take back everything I said. That is amazing and wonderful and it makes me so happy.
45 years to the day from when we first saw Obi-Wan.
And you said something really funny about Obi-Wan. I know we're not supposed to be talking about Obi-Wan right now, but you said that you saw, was it on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a meme somewhere on the internet. But basically it was, if the first line that Obi-Wan says in his series isn't "hello there, I'm turning it off."
But meanwhile, if it is, I'm just going to squeal. Like, it's just all I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, the hello there from the prequels has been memed to death. But that's actually the first line he says in A New Hope, too.
Yes, it is, exactly.
So,
it's
kind of funny, but...
I mean, what are you going to not have...
I don't know if it has to be the first line, but he has to say it.
Oh, definitely. At, like, a significant time.
At some point. Most Star Wars things have to have. I have a bad feeling about.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Got a bad feeling about this. You have to. It's just a matter of who says it and when.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has to say hello.
In fact, the Mandalorian and Boba Fett have been missing. Like nobody said that.
That's really problematic.
Yeah, they should get on it.
That is actually really problematic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So besides not having someone having a bad feeling about this, although there are so many times someone could have had a bad feeling about something.
Yeah, they have their own catchphrases, I guess.
But you know what? So what? Don't care. Do not care.
Okay, so overall feelings of Boba Fett. I thought it was, there was some really good parts.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it overall.
Mm-hmm.
It did have pacing problems,
yes,
which we will get into
definitely.
But yeah, I liked how they brought back, just like they did in, of course, his introduction into live action,
mm-hmm,
in The Mandalorian. They brought back the actor who played Jango Fett in the prequels, and I thought that's really cool. I think they could continue to bring him back for like some of the more famous clones from the Clone Wars series and see where they are now.
Possibly
in Obi-Wan.
That would be a really good place to do it. And I mean, that was really cool from Clone Wars and things. So like lean into it a little bit. Right?
Yeah. So I liked that. Some of the special effects are really good. Some of them were really bad. Some of the action scenes were really good. Some were less good.
Yeah. Okay, so overall thumbs up, but pacing problems.
Yes, definitely, definitely pacing problems.
Yeah, okay. I am inclined to agree. I really like when things layer into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this one did it really well. I was very excited when they said, you know, Book of Boba Fett coming and things like that off of The Mandalorian. Like, that was a cool way to introduce that. I like that Mando was, like, put into there. And, of course, we got the return of Grogu, which is, you know, my favorite. And also, without going on a tangent, I have a problem with people who like popular things just because they like popular things. But I also have a problem with people who dislike popular things just because they're popular things. And Grogu is a popular thing who deserves to be awesome and popular and loved. And
well,
he's wonderful.
And here's the main problem. The Star Wars fan base is one of the most toxic fan bases there is.
Yeah.
They will complain about literally anything.
Mm-hmm. Which is part of the problem we saw with the sequels.
Yeah. No, they just... They, like, yeah, the sequels have some legitimate problems, especially with the disjointed nature. But
part of the reason they have a disjointed nature is because I think, honestly, they were catering to a terrible fan base.
That's the creator's fault. Then.
Well, sure it is, because you cater to that and you didn't need to. But anyway.
Yes. So, very toxic fan base. Yeah, so you jumped right into it. We got some Mandalorian.
I did jump into it because it was a highlight for me.
Yeah, you're having pacing problems.
Now, let's slow things down.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. Whatever.
So we're gonna have a Vespa race?
We're going to have a Vespa race. Yeah, I was thinking of a Vespa race.
That's slow, super steampunk-ish. Okay. No, but so, yeah, we had some significant developments of The Mandalorian. And some people were upset about this because it was supposed to be Boba Fett's show. And we had a whole episode where we literally didn't see Boba Fett at all.
It's true.
And then another episode where we saw Boba Fett for like 30 seconds, right, which is like kind of in his wheelhouse because that's how he was in the movies.
Yeah. Do keep that in mind. Okay. He became famous for this little tiny little piece.
But we did get a lot of backstory on Boba Fett and like kind of like how he is now. And why he's that way.
Yeah.
And we also got to see a lot of backstory on Tusken Raiders.
Which was super cool, actually. I liked that a lot.
I did like it.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Okay. So, all right. Let's start with the beginning here. Because our first few episodes fit together more than what came later.
Yeah. So these still had pacing problems for me.
They did.
Because they were so heavy with the flashbacks. And a lot of the times when you do a flashback narrative like that, you have the current time and the flashback kind of coinciding.
Yes.
Like a narrative.
It leads into each other.
And this didn't always do that very well. So it was more like this story's going on and then, oh, we're going to go to this other story that's happening before.
Right. Especially I found the first two episodes, it was like he spent more time in the flashback than he did in current present day.
So, for me, how to make that better, like, I'm not just going to have critiques. How I would like to see that is you have the first episode introduce and catch up where he was in The Mandalorian, having taken over Jabba's thing, go into the back to tank and do two straight episodes of flashbacks to get you to the current time again.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I feel like you either need to have constant back and forth or you need to do it all, like, dump it all in once, like what you're saying. Now, for me, my writing brain is, like, the constant little bits of back and forth are stronger. But they didn't do that. They did this weird, like, a little bit of present and then tons of back. And little bit of present, tons of back, and then no back whatsoever.
But you need that narrative rhyme to do the back and forth, and they didn't.
Exactly.
They didn't have it.
I totally agree with you.
They didn't have it. So unless they changed the story or something.
Right.
They would have to. Like, it doesn't work. So that's I'm without changing too much, I'm just saying you just cut together the flashbacks straight.
Right.
And then you jump to the present time.
All right. Yeah. First couple episodes, we're going to get to episode 3 because I know that's your big sticking point on this one.
Yeah.
So the first two episodes,
I really liked the first episode. I thought that one was good. It was a good introduction and
you got to see him escape the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Escaping the Sarlacc pit, I liked it. It was cool and
very symbolic and metaphorical. It's a metaphor.
Yes, it was.
Like really a lot.
Like really
like
a lot.
Hitting you over the head with it with a flashing neon sign.
Okay. So and then episode 2.
We get a little bit more. I liked episode 2 as well. I did like episode 1 better. Episode 2 though is when we get into like the Tusken Raiders kind of. A little bit more. So this was kind of my complaint through most of it, but I was hoping in the first few to see more of Fennec Shand as well.
Yeah, she was kind of underserved. We got to see how she was saved over the series.
Yeah, I did like that.
That was fine. I would have liked a stronger villain aspect. There, it was kind of set up as like a mystery. Who's the real villain pulling these strings? And you had the Hutt twins, which were pretty cool, actually.
They were, and they came in, and then they left.
And then they're just gone. They're like, oh, well, now we're good. Whatever. And then you're like, the biker gang is whatever. And and then the Pikes turned out to be the big bad, but they weren't they? I don't know. They were kind of lame.
Back to the pacing issue with that. The train scene was cool. That was episode 4.
The train scene? No, I think that was episode 2.
Okay, well that part was cool. Yeah. And that's when we got the best thing about like, in the best action scene from the beginning. Anyway, so yes, that's right. It was episode 2. Mm-hmm. Of course mm-hmm. it was. And so I liked that, and you got to see a little bit more of the Pikes in that one. A couple times train scene, and then later on in the series, they really lean into the Western influence.
Very, very Western. Mm-hmm. All the modern, like the current day stuff was very Western.
But this was our flashback Western moment, right. Basically. Yeah. So no, I liked episode 2. I liked episode 1. The first couple episodes, I was just like happy living in the Star Wars world. And I wasn't thinking overall mm-hmm. arc story too much. It was just like, right. Oh, this is like a cool little side story.
Yeah, a little bit of background and just exploring Tusken lore was very cool.
I really liked that, actually.
There was a lot of mysticism in mm-hmm. in the series, and I thought that was pretty cool. Like, you're taking for granted that the Force is a real thing, yep. which is supposed to touch all living things. So just because the Jedi have this whole thing around it doesn't right. mean that other beings wouldn't have some other sort of mysticism that would be related to the Force.
Of course, it would be some other explanation yeah. of this thing. You got to remember that, not you, I know you know this, mm-hmm. but the Jedi is like an interpretation of it. It's just one interpretation of it. It's just the ones that happen to have a lot of power.
From a certain point of view.
Exactly. So it's really cool to see how the Tuskens interpreted this. And also the Tuskens, of course, being painted with this one brush, and mostly the original trilogy. It's very interesting to see a different brush now used to look at that.
Yeah, I mean, they have some heavy-handed Native yeah. American allegories there going yeah. on. So that I mean, that's good. It's a Western, so yeah, like it works really well with that.
Yeah.
I don't think I want a nose lizard.
Not even a little bit. No, that sounds actually terrible. Absolutely terrible. But what is interesting is all of, like, you know, calling the Dune Sea and the waves and, like, the tie-in. My literary brain really loved, and I know it was a little heavy-handed, but still, the tie-in with, like, what his earliest memories would have been.
Right.
So I did really like that. And also the question of, okay, well, if this is what, you know, Tatooine used to be like, why did it get that way? So I
like
that.
And we still don't know that. But,
no, we yeah. don't. There's some different possibilities about, you know, like changing worlds and stuff, and like the importance of the ramifications of how you see that in other places. But I really liked the tie-in between the Dune Sea and the actual like ocean planet.
Right.
Right. And yeah, no nose lizard, please and thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to just talk about the worst episode, because let's do that.
I also think you've grown to hate this more as time has gone on.
The first time you were like,
I don't like it, but like, whatever.
Yeah, so episode 3, I think this had the least flashbacks of the first 4 episodes, let's
yeah,
say.
Yeah,
I want to say. I can't quite remember, mm-hmm. but anyway, we spent a lot of time with Boba's new friends, the Mods, and him dealing with some of the conflict with mm-hmm. one of the original possible villains, the mayor,
yes.
and his henchmen trying to escape and all this. And it had one of the worst action scenes in Star Wars. This really slow speed chase through the streets of Mos Espa. And it was, yeah, it was it was just bad. It was just really bad.
I just was like, why is this as boring as it is?
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't have been.
No, I just like a limited budget. They had a concept on the storyboard that they couldn't execute with the TV budget that they had or something.
Okay.
I don't know, but it was bad.
I like the Mods as a group, but this did not serve. It was just very meh.
I liked the concept of a steampunky gang in Star Wars, and I think that's fine.
Yeah. Well, especially you have this like connect with the droids, and yeah.
And even their design choices, like some people were up in arms about their colorful Vespas. I can mm-hmm. agree with that. One of the really big ones was that the head lady mod
yeah.
had a leather jacket with zippers on it, and there was like specifically like no zippers in Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are there no zippers in Star Wars?
This is like a costume design choice.
Interesting.
And so this is like
Weird.
The first zipper you've ever seen in Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's interesting. I want to. Okay. No, but that's interesting. Like, why would they have chosen to do that? Because it's not like they don't know that.
I don't know. I have to dig into it more. But like, that was a big sticking point for some hardcore fans.
And again, Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So what was redeemable about Episode 3? Was anything redeemable about Episode 3?
Not really, no.
It transitioned between Episode 2 and 4?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. Yeah. Alright, so our story continues. We get, you know, a little bit more present day now. We get a little bit more that, you know, the Pikes are a thing and all this fun stuff. What did we think after Episode 3?
Yeah, so, like, we're trying to get into the meat of the story here. We've set up sort of Boba's backstory from the time he got punted into the Sarlacc
and a few motivations.
Yeah, and like why he's sort of why he's like a little softer now.
Right. I don't know if the word redeemed is right, and like, but he's not like whatever bounty hunter just out for the paycheck.
Yeah, he was a kid and his dad had his head chopped off.
In front of him.
In front of him, and then he was raised by bounty hunters. Like,
yeah, let's have, like, a modicum of understanding
here. He's not going to turn out very well mentally, I wouldn't say.
Yeah. All in all, he's doing pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he had a literal rebirth, and he learned to embrace a family aspect.
Right. And so this is... Okay, I don't want to tangent too much, but we have all these different, like, interpretations of connection. So we saw, like, the big problem, especially in the prequels, with, say, Jedi, is you can't have connection,
right? Can't have any connection.
You have, like, just love for living things or, like, understanding for living things, but no personal connection. And Mando specifically says that's the opposite of their creed, whereas a connection and unity makes everyone stronger. Even if you don't agree with someone, you are, you know, you stand up with them.
We saw
that in Mandalorian.
You have honor and you go by your word. And
this is the way.
And this is the way, yeah. Yeah.
So Jedi is like the greater overall arching idea of good, whereas the Mandalorians is more like loyalty focused. And here we have Boba Fett, who's all of a sudden with the Tusken Raiders, and they have the sense of community and the sense of, like, he earns his way into the community. And then once he does that, it's like, all right, you're a part of us now.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees himself as a part of them. So this question of a family is very important to...
Yeah. And of course, then we find out that he's lost his found family.
Yes.
And throughout the series, he goes about building a new one.
Yeah.
Basically, he finds all these cast-offs and treats them with a little bit of respect, and then they come to kind of respect him back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you build the whole up to the final conflict.
Right.
For his part, Mando respects Boba as well.
Yeah, so we do have Mando show up again.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you said before that you were surprised it was 7 episodes and not 6. Well, one episode was literally just a Mandalorian episode.
Yeah, just a Mandalorian. Like, this is what I would have expected to see for episode 1.
Right, a Mandalorian 3.
Mandalorian season 3.
Right. We did get Fennec Shand at the end, and that's it. I mean, we got... Yeah, we did not get any Boba Fett whatsoever. We did get... It was a Mando episode.
So what did you think, like, pacing and this being called Boba Fett series aside?
I don't know. Yeah.
Beside the point, what did you think? What did you think of that episode?
I actually really liked that episode, but I like that. I like those characters. I mean, you gave me Baby Yoda, so I'm happy.
Not in that episode.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It was the next one. I liked it. I liked a little bit more development about him. And this is basically just Mandalorian season 3, the preamble, basically.
Yeah. I would call it episode 0 for season 3. Yeah.
So I don't know if this was the place for it, but like you said, that aside, I thought it was interesting. I thought, yeah, it was at a place, and then it raises a lot of questions about, say, like, the Darksaber and things like that that didn't really get reared as much in, like, the final scenes. There were, like, hints of it, but nothing, like, I don't know. Like, it was such a departure from Boba Fett that I'm not sure, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was a departure, but It needed to happen to get to where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
It was almost like you had back in the day when you'd have like a spin-off series of another series and they'd cross over eventually.
Right.
They're happening at the same time. That's what this almost felt like. Is like, yeah, this is just the episode of Mandalorian before the crossover event the next week or something, right?
Yeah. So I see that. So I really liked it. I didn't necessarily like it as part of Boba Fett, but I said, how else do you do that, right? So, I don't know. Like, if people had a problem with it, people need to, like, calm down.
The only funny thing is if someone was like, oh, Boba Fett, that doesn't excite me. I'm going to just wait for season 3.
Oh.
And they turn on season 3, episode 1, and they're like, wait, why is Baby Yoda and Mando back together? Like, I thought, what happened to Luke? Like,
you missed, like, a few episodes, and you're way out of line here. Like, the last 3 episodes are
big Mandalorian development.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is really, I think it's kind of like Marvel now in that it's all overlapping and intertwining.
You're gonna have to watch it all probably. I would just like it to be like Star Wars the series, and you kind of just explore that world and you see Mando show up for a couple episodes,
right?
And you see Boba Fett doing something over here, and
that's cool.
And you have some other characters doing stuff over
here. I'm
here
for it.
It'd be fun, but okay. So
you were okay with it?
Yeah, no, I don't care. I just want to see good Star Wars.
Fair. A good Star Wars is a good Star Wars is a good Star Wars.
I really enjoyed The Return of the Mandalorian, which is what that episode was called.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it, and it was really well directed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, she can direct some more Star Wars. She can have her own movie.
Yeah, she go nuts. Go nuts. A lot of my favorite Mandalorian episodes were directed by her, though. So, you know, I didn't know that, but you said that. And
yep.
All right.
And it had a really epic one-shot on that ring.
That was so cool.
Planet that was just really, really cool. And
is that not the coolest planet we've seen in a long time?
Yeah. Star Wars, it's such a big galaxy, but they kind of all you just go to Tatooine or this boring ice planet or this boring jungle planet.
Yeah, like, or swamp planet, or they'll throw something in cool, like this is a farming planet and here are the blue, bright blue things as opposed to like regular water. So, but here they went nuts with it, and like, thank you, because that was so cool.
Pure sci-fi, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, I agree. And then we continued with The Mandalorian after that, because we did get Baby Yoda back.
So yeah, we got a bunch of cameos in episode 6, a bunch. This was the
Ooh-wee.
This was the big it broke the internet, more or less.
Yep.
There was lots of
I
was dodging spoilers like crazy before we watched this one.
You were like, I was at work and you're like, you need to come home so we can watch this because I cannot stay off the internet anymore.
Yeah, so we got to see Luke training Grogu.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We got to see that he's met Ahsoka.
That was cool. And we did have a little bit of back and forth.
A little bit. I'd love to see more.
I would really as well. You got to remember, like, that the layers that are involved in that. She has this one line, which if you didn't know anything, you'd just be like a throwaway line. She's like, so much like your father. And it's like, oh, there's so much to unpack.
Yeah, because she had a very interesting and deep relationship with Anakin. And, of course, like, so much of Luke's Jedi journey was based on his relationship with Anakin.
Yeah.
Or good and bad.
Yeah,
and,
exactly, for what it was.
And, like, living in that shadow of that.
I couldn't believe we actually got to see Ahsoka again. And I know we have an Ahsoka actual series coming eventually, someday. And I'm really excited for it. And I'm like, is Ahsoka going to end up being a favorite Star Wars character?
I mean, she's a lot of people's favorite Star Wars
character. I know.
Nowadays.
I feel like I need to know more.
She, like, you
watch
those,
haven't seen Rebels.
You watch those early Clone Wars episodes, and she wasn't very well liked when she was introduced. It was like, who's this annoying character that's added on and whatever. But she grew with the series, and as the series, like, picked up steam and was like, oh, this is actually, like, really good Star Wars, and is, like, fixing the prequels and all that. Yeah, she's just a fan favorite now.
Yeah, so I'm really, we haven't watched Rebels, but every single time I see Ahsoka have more character development, I like her more.
Yeah.
And she's, yeah, I mean, I'm, yeah, my favorite character is Leia, just, you know, she's Leia, and no one's ever going to beat that. But, like, even just seeing her for, like, a little tiny bit there, I was like, oh, there's so much with her. That's just really cool. So we saw Ahsoka. We saw Luke training Grogu. And we saw some, like, them building the academy?
It's going to be the academy, yeah. And it's exact same building that you see burning in the flashbacks.
Which is very cool.
In the sequel trilogy, so.
Also, those were cool droids. We saw some cool droid robot-y guys, hey?
Yeah,
so we saw the ants in here, and then we saw, they were Scorpion-inspired later, but, yeah. So what did you think about this episode?
It was good, and we got to catch up with Grogu, and then we got to reintegrate these two episodes of The Mandalorian back into Boba Fett.
Right. Thank you, Fennec Shand.
Well, she was at the end of episode 5. Right, right. But this was really tying them back together. Like, Mando goes back to Boba Fett, and they have a big planning session, and he's like, okay, I have a friend here that can help
us. Oh, man, that was the end of that, hey?
Yeah.
Okay, so... First of all, before we go to that, anything about Luke training Grogu that you want to mention? Besides the fact that it was cool how Grogu was walking too slowly, he, like, moved him forward.
I mean, there was some hardcore fan service there with the backpack.
Yes.
You kind of have to do it. Yeah, yeah. The flippy stuff. You had the return of the training droid thing, that very distinct callback to A New Hope, where Luke starts learning about being a Jedi from Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Luke has his father's lightsaber while he's training with the thing, and Luke's like, "Hey, now just jump around or something. You have like 3-inch legs; you should be fine." poor Grogu.
But he is fine,
and he's also hungry. He can't eat. He's not allowed to eat the frog.
That was actually really cute. Yum, yum,
yeah. Yum. So I don't know. I can see why Luke is a failure as a teacher. He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, well, and he even says that, though, in the sequels. He said he was so full of himself just being the Luke Skywalker that he wasn't an effective teacher. But he thinks he's going to be.
Yes.
And I would like to say, just because you're good at something doesn't make you good at teaching it.
It's true.
I'm saying that as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So...
look at Yoda. He had problems as a teacher, too.
True story. Absolutely. You know who's a good teacher, I think? Obi-Wan?
Yeah, he was all right.
And then he died.
Yeah. I think Qui-Gon was probably the best mentor in the Jedi that we've seen significantly.
That's fair. Yeah.
That was good. Obi-Wan was okay. His problem was he was too buddy-buddy with Anakin.
That's true.
He wasn't a pure mentor.
I think Obi-Wan was better with Luke than he was with Anakin.
Yes, but he was not with Luke for very long.
Okay.
Why, what happened? Oh.
Yeah. He died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now we get to the gripping conclusion. Everyone's together.
Yep.
And things are happening.
He says, Mando says he's got an idea for some backup.
Yeah.
So what's his plan?
Well, he's going to go see his good buddy.
Yeah.
That used to have Boba's armor, which is a nice tie-in as well.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and finds Cobb Vanth.
Yep.
Who's on Tatooine and is trying to convince him to help the locals to help out and get rid of the spice trade, because they're kind of against that as well.
Right. We actually have this great scene with him, like, kicking over these, like, I don't even know how much. They say this spice would be worth more than your town. And then he kicks it over and, like, lets it dissipate.
Very Western. Mm-hmm. Drug allegory.
Dune would be proud.
He was literally stolen from Dune.
Yeah. Dune would also be annoyed.
Anyway, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So we see Cobb Vanth in there and like, oh yeah, he's going to come and help. But then we get another cameo.
Yes. Oh, this was nuts.
So
this was so crazy.
We've already had Luke, improved CGI faced Luke.
Yeah.
People liked it a lot more. I was okay with the last one, like
suspension of disbelief, people.
Whatever. This was better, though. It was well done.
It was,
We've had Ahsoka.
Oh man, blew my mind.
We've had Grogu and Mando stuff going on,
and then they're like, you know what? Just wait. There's more.
And you see a shimmering figure appearing in
so Western,
very Western. Of course, the original character was very inspired by a famous Western. So that's interesting, but yes, we get Cad Bane in live action.
Man, does he look cool.
scary.
Terrifying.
I
and the voice. Yeah, and just, oh.
Like, in Clone Wars, it's like, fine, whatever. He's kind of like a jerk with a funny hat.
Yeah, he's cool, but like,
in live action, he's terrifying.
The teeth and, like, that voice and the way, oh, just, like, his manners. Oh, man. This was just
cool. I did not think he would translate to live action, but he was actually better in live action. So that...
I agree.
That blows my mind. Anyway, he shoots up the town and tells him to not bother.
Which essentially has the exact opposite effect that he's going
it
for.
It does. I don't think he really cares.
Not even a little bit. He was, like, told to go
yeah.
do this and make sure the town stays out of it. And he's like, okay. So he goes and he, like, shoots some people and is like, well, that was fun. And then the townspeople are like, we're free town now. You can't tell us what to do, which you can easily tell was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
we're left with our final episode.
Yeah. And it's just the big throwdown.
Yeah.
Where everything happens.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
They have the big build up and they're like trying to fortify their positions and all Boba's friends are spread out amongst the town because they know something's going to happen. A very Western thing where they set up the siege, like throwback to the Alamo or other Westerns where they're going to protect the town.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But so it's set up like that and they have their big confrontation. Of course, it's shown that the other families that Boba had negotiated a truce with, of course, go back on that, as we knew they would.
Of course they would. He says he trusts them to act in their best interest. Well, they think their best interest is going back on the truce with Boba.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's kind of outnumbered, and if they go against him as well, that seems like a pretty done deal. So, yeah, of course. All his friends have a bad day. Especially the green piggy guys.
No, they go, they're fine.
They go bungee jumping without a bungee cord.
I was not okay with this, okay? Yeah,
everybody else
them.
Makes it out pretty much okay.
How is that fair?
Yeah, one's a Wookiee, so...
Right. That was actually funny, because it looks like it's not going well, and then he just, like, throws people off.
Yeah. The mods get saved by Fennec Shand.
Yeah, well, why didn't Fennec Shand go save the piggies?
Because they were already dead.
Poor piggies.
And we have a big moment between Boba and Mando.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then they're all talking about honor, and Mando, of course, thinks that Grogu's safe with Luke and... And doesn't really have anything to live for anymore, so he's like...
So he's going to go out with honor.
Yeah, he's going to go out with honor. Like, he's betrayed his creed by taking his helmet off previously, so he's not going to betray his creed anymore. And he's like, I've given you my word, and we're going to die together with honor.
Yeah, it's actually in the name of honor is what it's called. Yeah, and then he's like, this is the way.
Yeah. And of course, then we have the... huge shootout at the OK Corral.
Basically.
Literally.
Yeah.
We just get a really cool action scene of
Them. Just like layers of action on this in different places and in different ways. And
So they start having a shootout with the Pikes and they go crazy with their jetpacks.
Yeah, that was fun.
And Boba finally gets to be cool with his knee rocket launchers and everything.
And he had some minor action scenes here, but this was where he was actually cool.
Yeah, he's kicking butt. He's shooting lots of people, and Mando's shooting people, and everything's going on.
He has whistling birds going on. My favorite was the Boba shooting in with his knee at the same time. That was cool.
Yeah, just really cool. Mm-hmm. And of course... everyone else has been saved and they all come back together and they kind of like regroup and things are going well and the people of Freetown come and they're doing okay. And then the big scorpion droids come in and it's like, it's a bad time.
It's a bad time. Mm-hmm.
But now this is where pacing was a problem. I would have liked to see a little more development on this, but Boba goes and escapes cause he's got a secret weapon.
Yep.
That we go back to the Rancor, which we saw in episode 3, I want to say?
Question mark. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. It's 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. He has a Rancor, and he was learning to be trusted by...
Which is so cool, but we haven't seen him since then.
Yeah. They could have had a little bit more of the development with the Rancor. We knew it was coming back, like, they hinted to it strongly.
Oh,
but,
so much.
But, like, yeah, just a little bit of development. I don't know.
It doesn't need to be a big thing. Just have him, like, someone come and talk to him while he's, like, feeding it or something, just to show that, oh, yeah, he's there and he's having a connection with it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he comes back riding the Rancor,
which is super cool.
It's very, very, very cool moment. There's some Godzilla homage, and then later on some very strong King Kong homage.
Little heavy handed on
little,
that.
Little
heavy
handed, yes. But the Rancor gets to throw down versus the droid, like,
and it was so cool.
Kaiju giant robot style.
Yeah.
Very fun. Very, very fun. Mm-hmm. And Mando and Grogu get their reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really nice.
And we get to see Grogu throwing down with a big old
droid. Oh, yeah.
He likes his round, shiny objects.
It's true. It's true.
And handily, their joints were round and shiny.
Yeah. Doesn't need them anymore.
Yeah.
No. Grogu gets instead.
So we get to see some power growth from Grogu, because he uses the Force a lot in this episode.
He does, yeah.
And quite well.
Yeah, he's learned some stuff.
Well, he was with the probably the strongest Force user around at this point, so we don't know how long he was there.
Right.
Not a super duper long time, but long enough.
Well, and you also gotta remember he's 50, and we do know from the moments when he's with Luke, when Luke gives him part of his memory back, he was at the Jedi Temple.
Yes, he's been trained before.
Yeah, so it's, and he even says it's not like he's training him, it's like he's helping him remember.
Yes, he's like blocked memories because it was very traumatic. Well, we know he's been traumatized, and he's very close with Mando, and they were both traumatized as children, so that's
exactly.
A nice little,
so we do have that connection there.
Connection, yeah.
So we do have that Grogu has now gained a lot of strength,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of like not masteries. He's not strong enough to have mastery over it, but like control over it, right?
And he helps fight the droid and everything, and the Rancor kind of finishes them off, but. Mm-hmm. Cad Bane comes back and scares the Rancor away and dismounts Boba, and they have their own throwdown.
Yeah, we got a duel.
A duel.
Yeah,
which is interesting because the big thing is that there was an unfinished Clone Wars episode where Boba and Cad Bane have a duel. And
yes.
And that was supposed to be where Boba got a dent in his helmet, but we never actually saw that.
Right.
And they kind of talk about how they had a relationship before
and
stuff.
Yeah, they overlapped a lot.
And yeah, it was cool. Cad Bane gets stabbed real good with his gaffy
stick.
That
was actually really cool because basically, I mean, okay, a little heavy-handed, but cool. Because, But he's doing his whole thing like, you got to rely only on yourself, and this is what made you weak, and I'm going to kill you. And this is, of course, a trope throughout literature. But then at the last moment, his gaffy stick is, he reaches back, grabs it, and it's basically like,
he remembers that you're stronger with family, and
And this, of course, represents his connection.
All
to
of
the
a
Tuscans.
Sudden, Dominic Toretto comes out on his big muscle car. No, different family. Okay.
Family.
Family. No. So he defeats Cad Bane with mm-hmm. the stick of family.
Yes, the stick of family. The weapon of family.
It's metaphorical.
Meta metaphor.
Do we think Cad Bane's dead?
No.
No. I don't think so either.
No, and the one that gets mentioned is when the camera zooms away from him, he's got the flashing light on his chest.
Yeah, he's got a respirator. He can get stabbed in the chest. Like, you don't know what. He's a weird alien thing. You don't know where his heart
exactly.
is. It's probably in his butt or something.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, know.
Plus, this is way too cool a character to kill off right away.
Even though
you don't bring him back for
even
this.
Though he's really old now.
He's really old. So maybe he's got, like, there's some other development going on there or something. But
who knows? Anyway.
Really cool.
That's fine. So we have the big moment with Boba and Cad Bane. That's kind of their climax. And then, but meanwhile, the Rancor's.
Oh, yeah. He's freaking out.
Going crazy. Going full King Kong.
And so, of course, everyone's reaction is, shoot it. That won't upset it at all.
Yeah, so all Boba's friends are like, yeah, we're going to shoot the Rancor. And yeah, that doesn't really go.
No, it never
does. That
doesn't
help. But Mando's like, I'm going to save the day because I have Beskar armor on and I know how to ride a blurg. And that just looks like a big blurg.
I love blurgs.
So he tries that. It doesn't go well.
No.
Thankfully, he does have Beskar armor on, so his head doesn't get eaten
off. Yeah, it's true. It's just
that's
touch and go there.
That's a newer thing. But yeah, he's not having a good time, and he's about to be eaten or stabbed or
something.
He's down.
Yeah.
Very good throwback to the mud rhino.
Really is. Yeah, yeah.
And Baby Yoda waddles out.
Yeah, being all waddly and all cute. And he instead of attacking like he did with the mud rhino, he basically like there's some empathy, or he basically quiets the beast.
Yeah.
And like understands and quiets him down and touches him, and then Rancor has a nap.
Yeah, Rancor has a nap, and of course so does Grogu, because he actually expended himself quite significantly. So he's ready for a nap, but he cuddles
yeah, Rancor. And he actually like snuggles in really close, and he's because he understands so that it's
they,
not just
like
this
they have this connection.
Yeah.
And that it's a bit of a change, because
yeah,
his first previous reaction was when someone was hurting Mando, because he likes Mando. He's always had a connection with Mando,
definitely from the Mud Rhino.
His first reaction was always to like attack.
Yeah, so we even saw that
force
when
choke or
yeah, with Gina Carano's character, we even saw that right away, and Matt would be like, "No, it's okay." Like he had to calm down. Like we don't need to choke everyone who is like I'm joking around with kind of thing.
Yeah,
but here it was more like let's understand, let's connect. So Grogu's got some development going on in this.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where this goes for Mando season 3.
So we didn't express. I don't want to talk just Grogu here on the Boba Fett episode, but anyway, when Luke gives him a specific choice and says you have to choose, and he gives him the Beskar armor that was like a like chainmail kind of thing.
Yeah, so they the spear from that Mando won on Mando season 2 with the Ahsoka episode, there was the whole samurai thing with the Beskar spear.
Yes,
they turned the spearhead into armor.
Yes, because Beskar should be to protect, not attack.
Mm-hmm.
So he changed it into that, which makes sense. Little guy, he's gonna grow. He needs to grow with him. Or Yoda's lightsaber, and we're left with Luke offering Grogu a choice between these two, and then of course we have Grogu showing up wearing the armor.
Yeah.
So his choice is
I guess he chose.
And we did get R2 dropping Grogu off with Pelle
Motto.
Yes. I don't know how to pronounce that name, but yes. So he chose.
She also doesn't really like the name Grogu.
No, that was actually really fun. Grogu, that's a terrible name.
That's a
no way I'm calling you that.
I'm not calling you that, yeah. As you can tell, I still call him Baby Yoda quite a bit myself.
I keep flipping back and forth as well. So, I mean, like, fair. So, okay. Last episode, what did you think?
I liked all the action. I liked the giant droid shields. Nice.
Those are cool.
Callback to just droid problems in Clone Wars and the prequel movies.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Rancor was awesome.
The Rancor was a very cool scene.
The effects for the Rancor were awesome. I liked the Wookiee going all nuts.
That was cool too. Okay, so we have an after credit scene.
We do.
So at the end, we have Boba Fett and Fennec Shand. They're walking through, and the town is now like thanking Boba, and Mando and Grogu are up going for a joyride, and he's being an adorable little child.
Yeah, 50-year-old baby.
Yeah, and everyone's just kind of the mods are hanging out with the Wookiee, and it's just we're left in a spot, and then we have an after credit scene.
Right. So. We saw Cobb Vanth getting gunned down.
Yep.
By Cad Bane.
Yep.
And we're like, well, that kind of looked like he got shot in the shoulder, but his townspeople kind of think he got shot.
Well, they specifically say gunned down.
Gunned down.
They
yeah.
didn't say killed.
Killed. No. Yeah. And they were giving him. They got a stim, and like tried to heal him.
Right.
And
they
were giving him first aid for sure. How good a first aid you can get out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. But yes, we do see Boba's back to tank.
Yeah.
He says it's in use.
Yeah.
And that's the after credit scene. You get to see who it's in use by.
Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. I was kind of hoping for more after credit scene, actually. I was hoping for an Obi-Wan.
Yeah, they should have had an Obi-Wan teaser, but it might not quite tie in. Like, the time period doesn't really work.
I don't know. So there was that. I was hoping for like a little bit more, cause that was a pretty obvious one, but that's, you know, it's still cool. We still got to see that. We know that he's going to be sticking around.
We can keep coming in, and maybe we'll get a Cobb Vanth super Western series.
Who knows? I like your idea of just like layering in just like Star Wars time frame. This is all the stuff going on in Star Wars time frame.
Star Wars, the series.
Other thing we didn't mention is you don't actually get to see it, but Fennec Shand gets to go a little badass. and like killing all the family heads.
She murders all the people that betrayed Boba.
Literally stabs one in the back.
They all have a really bad day.
It was really very
Batman-esque, mm-hmm. With the crawling around on the ceiling and hanging people.
But we did get a little reminder. We had a couple moments earlier, but we did get a reminder of this girl knows what she's doing.
She's a renowned assassin, and that's what she's good at.
Exactly. And I mean, she's been doing a lot of giving advice and stuff, but this is her thing.
She did some assassinating.
Yeah, she assassinated. So overall, fun, glad it exists, pacing problems, still fun and glad it exists.
Could be better.
Not disappointed, though.
Could be a lot worse.
Yeah. I'm sad they killed the piggies.
Yeah.
They're fine. There was a trampoline at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
They landed. It was fine.
Yeah, it was a big cart of those melons, and they landed in the melons.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Brandon, I have two trivia items for you.
Okay. Probably should make it quick, though.
Yep, definitely.
We've blathered on much too long.
Okay, so way back in the original trilogy, Mark Hamill suggested to George Lucas that maybe Luke and Boba Fett should have a closer backstory. What type of connection did Hamill originally push for that never happened?
I want to say he thought they should be brothers.
Okay. See, when I was writing the notes for this episode, I found a couple trivia things, and I was like, we haven't asked for any
I have
time.
Heard. I have heard brothers? That. Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but I want to say brothers.
Your gut saying brothers, okay?
Yeah.
And then number two,
you know, if you think about it, because like he was working closely with Vader, in Empire, and that's when Luke found out that Vader was his father. And if Bubba was his brother, it'd be kind of a cool family drama.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I understand that. Okay, so you're saying Hamill told Lucas that they should be brothers. Okay, and number two, I only have two questions. George Lucas almost had Boba Fett kill a significant character during Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Who?
Mace Windu, I guess?
I mean, that makes sense for Episode 3, I suppose.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mace Windu, of course, killed his father, mm-hmm. Jango Fett, so that's...
Makes sense.
That's who...
Been awfully young, but okay.
Yeah, would have set him on his path of killing people for fun.
Good killing people.
Money.
Yeah. Bring in more. I can bring in cold.
Yeah, I don't know who else a significant character. I don't know. It wouldn't be Yoda because you can't kill Yoda. No, he's going to appear later. Can't be Obi-Wan. He's going to appear later.
That makes sense.
Mace Windu is a fairly major character.
Well, and then you have this whole connection between the fathers and the sons, and interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess you'll find out next episode if you're right or not.
Well, probably in 5 minutes after we stop recording, and I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make you tell
me. It's also true.
Okay, well, that's our episode this week. Mm-hmm. We're gonna actually be on holidays next week.
So you have to wait a week.
You have to wait with anticipation.
Yes.
For our next episode, mm-hmm. which will be in a couple weeks.
Yes.
But this is our first vacation.
Yeah.
Since we started recording, so this is the first week we're gonna miss.
Yeah, usually we're doing this one ahead of time, but
we were thinking about recording something quick ahead of time, but I think we're just gonna take a relax.
We don't want to rush through and not do a good job.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Oh well, thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. As well as links to our social media accounts. Instagram at DisneyA.podcast, Facebook at DisneyA, and Twitter at DisneyAPodcast. You can find DisneyA episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A.
I just wanted to mention about some Instagram comments I've gotten.
Uh-oh.
Because for the last little bit, our most recent episode was Disney crushes, Disney animated crushes.
Mm.
I would just like to point out that the most common one I've gotten didn't show up on any of our lists.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Eric from Little Mermaid.
Eh.
You know what? I just wanted to say, between Eric is not the crush from that movie. I know you already said Ariel.
Yeah.
King Triton.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Instagram people who messaged me. I'm not saying you're wrong.
But
I'm just
wrong.
Saying you didn't make
no,
the list.
Prince Eric, he's a problematic fellow. He's like this mute girl, and then he's like goes off with magical. Mm-hmm. I know he probably has a spell cast
on
him. But
he does. It shows that he does. But I think, yeah, up until this point, you had like Prince Philip and Prince Charming.
Early princes.
But also before this, you had Robin Hood. So just saying. But yeah, so thanks for everyone who messaged us on Instagram. But that wasn't the only comment we got, but that was the most common. And no.
Not for me.
No.
Not for me. No.
Well, fair. Sorry for interrupting. Prince Eric was, meh.
If you've reviewed our podcast, thank you very much. If you haven't yet, you should probably do that because that'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that.
You want to be nice,
okay,
don't you?
Okay, I'll pause while you do that.
Okay.
And go. Okay, thank you. Good job.
That was so nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Aw.
And if you know someone who might like listening to us, be sure to recommend Disney A to them as well. You can listen to Disney A episodes on Magic the Mouse Radio, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Magic the Mouse Radio can be found on most radio station apps. And yeah, our next episode, I think we're still going to probably talk about Frontierland.
Yeah, we haven't done an At the Parks for a few weeks. We've been making our way through all of the Disney parks.
I like it. Frontierland, other than, of course, Batuu, ties in nicely to Star Wars since it's so Western-y themed.
Hey, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Especially Boba Fett. This has been very, very Western-inspired series.
Of course,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Yeehaw! We're going to...
This is a nice tie-in.
Go to the Frontierland.
Well, I guess we also could have done Tomorrowland as part of it. But no, let's go Frontierland, especially those last few episodes when you had the shootouts and everything.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so in a couple weeks, join us for some exploration of Frontierland.
Yeehaw!
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Kristen. Until that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Big muscle car. No, different family. Okay.